Blog Talk Radio.
Yet growing rice uses more fresh water than any other human activity, leading to water scarcity. And so if we're going to grow and eat as much rice around the world as is the norm, then we have to start growing rice more sustainably. So Lotus Foods was very fortunate to meet the folks at Cornell University, the SRI resource, Global Rice people, who basically for over, you know, the same amount of time that Lotus Foods has been in business, over 20 years, has been working around the world teaching farmers how to grow rice more sustainably using 50% less water, 90% less seed, no agrochemicals. And farmers are actually getting double and triple yields just by the way they changed the way rice is grown, that we thought, wow, we really need to be committed to this project as well. So that, along with giving consumers healthier rice choices and that are better for them, better for their families, and actually better for the earth, is really part of our goal here.
So then let's go into, like, when people think of rice, they think of the common white rice, which is not what you guys have.
Well, you know, there are so many different kinds of rice, and you're right. People, most consumers don't really know how diverse rice is, and actually one of the initial goals in starting Lotus Foods when Ken and I started in 1995 was actually to keep the biodiversity of rice alive, because what was happening is if you don't create a market for some of these unique rices, they go undifferentiated, or farmers won't grow it. You have to have a market for these. So that was one of the things that we first set out to do. We created a market for Bhutan red rice, for forbidden rice, a black rice that we found in China that legend had it was the exclusive grain of the emperors because of its nutritional and medicinal qualities to it. So we decided when we started a rice company that we were only going to work with farmers, small family farmers, who, number one, never exported before, and give them access to a global marketplace at a fair trade price.
So give me, let's go through a description of which, of the rice, the different rices that are available.
So you have, first of all, our rices, as you mentioned, are from all over the world. And we have legacy rices that we first started importing in 1995 that are not grown using more crop per drop. And that's like the heirloom and organic forbidden black rice. Farmers in China are using this methodology. Our farmers right now are not, but we're also trying to work with them. Our goal is to transition all our farmers into the more crop per drop system of rice intensification. But that's not so easy when you think about farming techniques and methodologies that are over 5,000 years old. So we have the forbidden black rice, the forbidden rice, in both organic, certified organic, and what we're calling heirloom. We also have something called organic jade pearl rice. This is a beautiful sushi pearled rice that we infuse with bamboo leaf extract. And bamboo leaf extract is full of chlorophyll. It's what the koala bear, not koala bears, the panda bears eat. It's something, bamboo is very sustainable. It grows really fast, and it's very, very healthy. And so it gives the chlorophyll in the bamboo, gives the rice this beautiful jade color. And it tastes delicious. But that rice you should never rinse, because you'll rinse off all that healthy chlorophyll. We also have organic Carnaroli rice from the Po River Valley in Italy. And so most people know only about arboreal rice, but actually Carnaroli rice is the king of risotto rices, and it makes an exceptional risotto or paella or even a rice pudding because it's got a little bit more starch than your arboreo. So it actually gives you that nice allende, which is that beautiful kind of like sauce, that creaminess, the wave, which is what in Italian is called allende, in making a really nice risotto. And so those are some of the legacy rices. And then we have more crop per drop rices. And in the retail bag, you'll see the differentiation between these two, and that real rice farmers are on our more crop per drop 15-ounce rice bags. 15 ounces is exactly 2 cups. So we have organic Madagascar pink. This is grown in, it's a long grain red rice that we very partially scarify to make it pink. And it's got this beautiful beautiful taste with hints of cinnamon and cloves. It's aromatic. It's really a beautiful rice from Madagascar. We also have a new organic red rice from Madagascar, too. And that's going to take the place of our very popular Bhutanese red rice. We also have organic Mekong flour rice, both in brown and white. These are called Kamali rices, as opposed to Homily, which is the name of the jasmine rice in Thailand. Kamali rice is the Cambodian jasmine rice, authentic jasmine rice. And the brown rice, which is one of my favorite, is so soft. And you really have such a great texture and nutty flavor. You won't think that you're eating a whole grain rice. And then another one of our favorites is the organic volcano rice, which is a colorful blend of prized traditional brown and red rice grown on West Java. This is in Indonesia, the mineral-rich volcanic soil of West Java, Indonesia. And this is like a maritage and only cooks in 30 minutes, producing really moist and tender grains. So that gives you a sampling of all our rices that are available not only in retail bags, but you can get them in bulk sizes, anywhere from 11 pounds to 25 pounds.
Have you noticed, for instance, at like restaurants here in the United States that are getting large amounts to cook at their, to cook at the restaurants?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, we do a big food service business. In fact, sometimes you'll find forbidden rice actually mentioned on the menu. So they'll say, salmon with a risotto of forbidden rice or on a bed of forbidden rice. So, yes, chefs want to use the best tasting and most nutritious rices as well, and also that grown more sustainably. We have a big a restaurant culinary following. They're the two new rices I actually forgot to mention, because right now they're only available in bulk, but they're two of our most exciting rices, because one is they're organic, authentic basmati rices. They're called Dehradun basmati, and Dehradun is the famed area for basmati rice, authentic traditional basmati rice that is known for its fragrance and its elongation. Elongation is what elevated basmati rice to one of the world's most recognized and best beloved rices. So we're very happy to have a traditional, authentic Dehradun basmati rice in our menu offering, because most basmati rices are hybrids and they are not the authentic traditional basmatis, and you can really taste the difference. The white, yep, especially, the long, slender, aromatic grain that almost doubles in length when cooked is really a superb, superior rice.
Is that the rice? Because I know there's one rice that when it cooks, it smells like I'm cooking popcorn.
Yes, that's a basmati. But also, jasmine rice can do that as well. That's the aroma. That's the fragrance. But it's the floral, it's the floral part of it. But what really makes basmati special is when it kind of doubles in length as well and cooks up separately, so that each grain, you can actually see each grain separately, where jasmine rice cooks up tender and moist, a little bit stickier. And those are the textural differences between basmati and jasmine. But also, the new white and brown Dehradun basmati rice is grown using the more crop per drop, more sustainable practices, which we actually are now launching a new campaign called Do the Rice Thing, with more crop per drop, a water smart and woman strong way to grow rice. When you use this more crop per drop methodology that gives you 50% that uses 50% less water and 90% less seed to yield three times more rice, you have social, economic, and environmental impacts just by the way how we grow rice. But we're trying to really pay tribute to the water smart and women strong aspect of this rice growing method.
Now, what do you mean by women strong? Because right now I'm saluting you for Women's History Month.
Yeah. No.
Do you know that
tomorrow is International Women's Day?
Yeah.
So this is absolutely perfect, because I don't know how many of your listeners understand, but women bear the burden of the backbreaking labor required to cultivate the world rice crop. And with this methodology, the more crop per drop, women can save over 400 to 500 hours of, you know, they actually, to produce an acre of rice, women spend an estimated 400 to 500 hours bent over or sitting in flooded fields exposed to parasites, so leeches and other diseases, disease vectors like malarial mosquitoes. So what happens with this new methodology that uses 20 or 50% less water is women don't have to work in flooded fields exposed to these diseases. Families can grow rice where water has become scarcer. And so you don't need to use all this water. You need to use, and also it uses fewer seeds. So for the women, fewer seeds to sow, to uproot, to transplant means fewer hours in the field. More time for the women to rest, for household and other activities. So fewer seeds means more rice available to eat or sell. And when this methodology uses no agrochemicals, it cuts household costs and improves the livelihoods, the health, and the income of the household. And when you get two or three times more rice, it improves food security and women's and children's health too. So just by the way we change the way we grow rice to this methodology, all these incredible touch points affect women, and that's why we call it Women Strong. I have a quote from a Canadian woman farmer that we met at during one of our last trips, and she says, "We now have more time to look after our children, sow and clean. We now only spend 1 to 2 hours in the field and can work during the hours when sunlight is not too strong. Before, we had to spend all morning and most of the afternoon in the field." So that's quite a difference right there.
Now, I also, one of the things I was curious about, when I mention, and I do talk about the rice a lot, at restaurants and heavens knows, person next to me in the aisles. But is there a difference between something called black rice and forbidden rice?
Yes, yes. So there are many different kinds of black rice, but only forbidden rice is Lotus Foods trademarked the name forbidden rice back in 1995 when we first introduced this extraordinary pigmented rice to the U.S. marketplace. We were the first company to bring black rice to the marketplace. And so if you want to be assured of the rice that we know that has only a 30-minute cooking time and this incredible roasted nutty flavor and softer texture, then you only want forbidden rice. Like there's a black rice from Vietnam or Thailand that is a longer, thicker grain that's used in making desserts, and it's a stickier rice, and it's much more, very much brannier. Much, it takes almost an hour to cook, and they usually make it for dessert so they can add some kind of like sugar or palm sugar to it to cut down on the acidity of the rice. So every black rice has different cooking qualities, taste, and texture. But forbidden rice, if you're used to Lotus Foods forbidden rice, you'll see the quicker cooking time and the very soft texture and delicious flavor.
Well, I happened to be at some store some years ago, and I saw black rice. And I looked at it, and I said, that doesn't look like forbidden rice. Didn't look like the same grain. Because when I explained it to people, I explained that because it's a short grain rice, so people will know that, you know, there's a difference. It's not just a black rice. But one of the things I also was curious about, when you're cooking up the forbidden rice, you get this, it's a purple, comes out like purple in the water?
Yes. So that's the black pigment. So pigmented rices, it starts with the whole grain brown rice, but when you go to a red rice or a black rice, those are what we're calling pigmented rices that are high in the antioxidant called anthocyanins. And so those are the ones, you know, just like other blue-black foods like acai or blueberries, those have a lot of antioxidants in it and health-giving properties, but they also have a lot of sugar. So forbidden rice actually is even better because it's got the same antioxidants without the sugar and
well,
more
when
fiber.
When you're cooking the rice, and I mean, then you don't want to throw away the water?
Well, it depends. I mean, rice is also starchy. I mean, why would you keep water? I mean, you want
oh,
to...
Oh, no, I mean, because I'm saying with the now this purple water.
But in cooking rice the correct way, the water is absorbed in the rice. So the water might look purple when the rice is still raw, but after you cook the rice, then all the water is actually reabsorbed into the rice, right? So you're not losing any of that nutrition.
Okay. I guess I haven't been cooking it right.
Are you cooking rice using like the pasta method where you cook rice in so much more water and then you throw off the rest of the water?
I have a feeling.
Well, it's one way to cook rice, but that's not, I think, the typical way of cooking rice. The typical way of cooking rice is if you follow our instructions, like for 1 cup of rice, you use only 1 3/4 cup of water in the forbidden rice, and all the water will be absorbed.
Okay. I will make sure
Maybe I need to do a rice cooking 101 class for you and your readers.
Yes.
And for your listeners.
That's a possibility.
But the most important thing is that you cook and eat rice. You can do the pasta method, but you just, as you said, you're throwing away some of that nutritional water.
Well, the thing that I found out, if I don't, I tend to sometimes not put enough water, and then I'm, then it's burning.
Well, if you use the water to rice ratio on our packages, you will always
have good rice. It's just me. That's just my cooking. Okay. Now I'll know. So now you've decided, when did this whole thing come up with the ramen noodles?
So, again, we have supplier partners in China, in the northeast of China, for the last 20 years. And about 4 years ago on one of our supplier trips, they expanded their facility. We wanted to go check it out. We always like to meet new farmers. We saw that they were making ramen, and we got very excited, black rice ramen. And so we started introducing ramen. Again, not just your typical ramen is a beloved food, as you know, since our college days, and kids love it. Everybody loves it. But all ramen till we introduced it was all wheat based. And as you know, there are a lot of people who are now gluten intolerant. And ramen was something that they couldn't eat. So because we're a rice company and ramen can be made from rice, we introduced rice ramen. But along with that, we reinvented the ramen category to make it even more nutritious, because ramen used to be pretty poor in the nutrition. It was high in sodium. Some of the ramen was fried. So we took our forbidden rice, our black rice, and made a beautiful black rice ramen and married it with a traditional miso soup with some mushroom taste to it as well. We took our jade pearl rice, which we shared with you with the bamboo extract, and made jade pearl ramen noodles. So they're this beautiful jade pearl green ramen noodle, and married that with some seaweed miso soup. And then we took our organic brown rice and we paired that with millet as well for more fiber and more protein. And we added a lovely miso soup, a red miso soup, with some chili peppers. So that was our first introduction about almost 4 years ago. I believe. And then last year we introduced three new flavors, which I'm really excited about, because this time we introduced a vegetable-flavored broth instead of a miso soup broth for anybody who might have soy allergens. And so we took purple potato and married it with brown rice to make a ramen. And the savory vegetable broth is flavored with Indian spices like turmeric, which is really hot right now because of its nutritional value. And then we took wakame, which is that lovely seaweed, and paired it with brown rice ramen, and then added more sea vegetables in the vegetable broth as well. And then the third varietal was a buckwheat and mushroom ramen. So a lot of people, you know, buckwheat has the word wheat in it, but buckwheat is gluten-free, and it's got this beautiful buckwheat is also very high in as a natural source of antioxidants. So that paired with mushrooms gives you an incredible umami flavor and some really great nutritional value as well.
So if you're taking they come in like two forms, so to speak. One is you get a bag that has four cakes. But no soup. And then
right.
You have the ones that are separate that you get. They're each package has a cake and a soup.
Right. So let me explain. And we actually have a third on our website, and maybe on Amazon. You might be able to buy a 48-pack with just 48. This is for food service. This is for restaurants. But we're offering this on our website because people just love the ramen cake so much. But the millet and brown rice ramen and the forbidden rice ramen you can buy in a 48-pack. So these are 48 separate noodle packs. So when we decided to do the four packs, and the four packs are available in the three original flavors, the forbidden rice, the jade pearl rice ramen, and the millet and brown rice ramen, we made those out without the flavor packet so people could use it as a gluten-free pasta that you could do with a hot sauce or as a cold noodle salad. You could make a spring roll with it. You can make your own soup. You know, some people like to make their own broths or soup. Or you could make, I've actually made a cinnamon raisin kugel with my rice ramen. You know, anything that you've used noodles for.
A cinnamon raisin kugel?
Yeah, it's on the website. It really is delicious.
I'll have to try that.
Yeah, with apricots. It's really delicious.
That'll be perfect.
And
will that be okay for Passover?
Exactly. It will be perfect for Passover. Mm-hmm. So the noodles, though, the ramen cake is not just, you know, the ramen noodles are not just for a simple 4-minute, you know, snack or lunch, or I eat it for dinner a lot with adding tofu and my own greens from the garden, as well as maybe a little bit boiled egg, you know, just like you get it in the ramen restaurants. It's a total meal. But what other dinner can you make so easily in 4 minutes? It's pretty great. It's, you know, when you're really hungry and your kids come home from school, it makes a great snack, you know, that's ready so quickly.
I got to tell you what I've been doing. What I do, I choose a protein. It could be chicken, beef, pork, or whatever. I choose a protein that I'm going to cook up. And then I choose vegetables that I want to use. And I start by sauteing the vegetables and throw in the protein. In the meantime, I'm cooking up the noodles in a pot. And then when it's just about done, I take the noodles, I strain the noodles, and put the noodles into the pan and mix it up.
Yep.
It's like, and then I mix it up in the pan so I can get it all of the sauce.
Right.
That I've got.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely
what I kind of do for dinner, for I tried a breakfast one. I said, and now this is good. This will be a. And I just got some. There's a company upstate called Ronnybrook Farms, and they have milk that has that's you know non-homogenized. You know, so it's yeah, it's like the real thing. So
right,
what happens?
Yeah.
I've been getting products from them. And I recently just got some half and half, and I'm going to do a breakfast one or a cookie using, you know, with half and half or a mac and cheese.
For dessert.
Yes.
With some maple syrup in there, like, you know, instead of you could use the raw milk like coconut milk with some maple syrup, almost like a sweet like instead of rice pudding, a ramen pudding.
Yes, yes. Now, but the question I have, because there was, like, I have had, like, cooked up rice noodles. And they tend to be grainy. So my question is, why is the rice not grainy? Now, when you're doing with the noodles, how come I don't get that grainy taste?
We know how to make Asian noodles.
So in other words, if somebody, it's a matter of that it's not necessarily so that rice noodles are grainy.
No, not at all. Yeah, or fall apart, or starchy, or half cooked and not cooked. That's
okay.
Not the way they should be. It's just when you're gluten intolerant and you have not a lot of choices, you know, a lot of people are differential about, you know, what's available. But when you make a great product that has great taste, great cooking qualities, and nutritional value, that's why this has become so popular, because they're so good and they're so versatile for morning, noon, and night, and for children and adults, for everybody. And that's just the difference of, you know, that Lotus Foods makes.
Is any of the rice grown in the United States?
No. As I said, we're about working on a global perspective, changing the way rice is grown around the world. We used to, in our 21 years in business, we did have some U.S.-grown rices, but not right now. I mean, we actually hope that we will do more crop per drop here in the U.S. as well, because especially in California with the drought. But right now, we're not. Right now, we're really concentrating on a global marketplace and helping the farmers, you know, who are, you know, imagine when this started 20 years ago, this was a poverty alleviation and food deficit story. And because of our work and the work of World Wildlife Fund and Oxfam and so many entities, that now so many of these farmers and countries that before were food deficit and are no longer. They have enough to feed themselves, to feed their local communities, and enough for export. That's why this has become, why we're so glad that we can have such impact and make such a difference in the world.
Now, then I want to go on to your newest products, the snacks.
The Araran rice crackers, right, right. Well, I think your listenership should understand that Araran rice crackers are a beloved Japanese snack that's been around for many, many, many years as well, just like ramen and rice. But just like we did for the ramen, we reinvented them with exciting new flavors and whole grain heirloom brown and black rice, sourced again from small family farmers growing more rice with less water. So a typical Araran rice cracker in the store before our Araran rice crackers came to be were made solely with conventional glutinous white rice. And what we did is now we're making it with organic whole grain brown rice grown using more crop per drop methodologies, as well as heirloom black rice. And so they're healthier. We also use it's lycopene, which is a tomato-based red color that actually, natural color, that actually is really good for men's prostate. And we use chlorophyll for the green color. So you're going to get four different beautiful shapes and four different colors, the brown, the black, the green, and the red. So they're quite colorful and quite delicious. They're available in three flavors. One is the sriracha, which for those who like a little bit of heat, or a lot of heat.
A lot of heat.
There's the original flavor, which is the shoyu, which is traditional with gluten-free soy sauce. And my favorite, which is the sweet and savory Thai. So it's got the flavor of Thai sweet basil.
Ah, yes, that's gone already. That package is gone. I would go.
Well, you know, it's the first product that you can actually open up and not have to cook. So it's our first introduction into the snack category, and we're really, really excited. Because I'm not a snacker, and yet this weekend I found myself couldn't stop eating these. We actually made it with popcorn this weekend, too. So we made a bowl of popcorn, and then we threw in the sriracha rice crackers, and they were absolutely delicious.
Okay, let me jot that down. The rice crackers and popcorn.
People are also, my sales director is gluten intolerant, and he eats salads every day, and he throws these on as croutons in his salads. Or you can also add them to a hot soup for extra crunch and more bulk. Like an oyster cracker.
Oh, yeah, that's right. By the way, do I hear a certain person that doesn't usually talk in the background?
Yeah, would you like to say hello?
Except that I think there was a whole thing about receiving something from one of the presidents or something?
Right. So Ken was invited to speak at the Clinton Global Initiative. This is former President Bill Clinton's annual meeting in New York City. And we have a commitment to action, which all people involved in the Clinton Global Initiative need to do. And Ken was giving a progress report and was introduced by President Clinton.
Uh-huh.
So he's coming over to say hello to you, Merle.
Oh, okay.
I usually speak just to presidents and kings and queens, but I have an embassy day today, so I'm very happy to speak with you.
Well, maybe in November you'll be able to do the same thing but different person.
Well, it'll be interesting who that person is, but we'll not have that conversation.
Well, I mean
right
the same, President Clinton, but a different one.
Right.
You never know.
Yeah.
Thanks for hosting the time for us to talk about our products. We very much appreciate it.
Oh, sure. I mean, I think it's a big deal. This is going to give me a lot of writing to do. I may have to do part one and part two. For one of the newspapers. I get about, let's say, maybe close to maybe 1,100 words that I could do at a time. But I want to get out. Although, we've done this before, I want to get the whole story out and everything that's added so people understand. And also, I guess when people go to restaurants, they should kind of say, hey, do you happen to have this particular rice, and can you get it for me, or things like that? Because I would be curious. Like, you don't ever have like a list or something of like restaurants that sell that use the rice?
We used to, because actually the company started. I used to actually deliver rice to chefs and restaurants throughout the Bay Area.
But it's very difficult to keep that, to keep that updated, because restaurant menus, as constantly change their menu. So we don't want somebody to walk into a restaurant expecting to have forbidden rice on the
right.
menu and be disappointed that it's not available. So,
what,
you know.
What type of, I mean, what type of restaurants seem to want to use a better rice?
Oh, my goodness. Anywhere from a four-star white tablecloth restaurant to, like, here in the Bay Area, Gary Danko, who we met over 20 years ago, was using the rice, to a natural foods commissary. You know, it fits all. It goes to anywhere and any place and anywhere. Anybody
any chef
understands and appreciates good quality.
Okay, I want to see if we check it out in in New York City to see if
we have
New York City.
Distributors. We have food service distributors who you know on a daily basis bring ingredients to chefs. You know, chefs don't have the time to travel the world looking for the newest ingredients. And that are going to be, you know, colorful on the plate and nutritious. And therefore, they depend upon entrepreneurs like Ken and myself to do that for them.
So would you be able to email me, for instance, a food service distributor for this area here?
Yeah, I could do that.
Okay, to get in touch with it, because I'd be quite curious, and this way I could also push that as well. But I had also noticed, it's interesting, you can get the rice, your products, not only by going on to your website, but it looks like, you know, like Amazon.com or, you know, other places have the ramen, at least. Both the rice and the ramen.
The rice is on Amazon. You can get bulk rice. You can get retail rice. You can get the rice cooker, the stainless steel rice cooker. You can get the ramen, and I'm sure soon they'll be able to get the orari. So, no, we like working with other e-commerce sites. It's the whatever, you know. We want as many ways for consumers to get our products.
No, I don't blame you.
Going to make a difference in the world and change how rice is being grown is to scale.
Oh yeah, I've never been a person to eat rice before. Even when I go to a Chinese restaurant, it's like, all right, here's the rice. All right. Or they'll say, do you want rice? Well, no, thanks. No, I really don't. It's like, you know, it's like I'm not a person that eats bread with my food. Just, you know, so it's not like that I'll eat rice just because it's rice, you know.
Right, but when you want rice, you want good rice.
Yes,
you know,
that's what it is.
When you want bread, you want good rice. When you want any ingredient, you want the best ingredient, the freshest
the
best ingredient, right?
Yeah.
Right.
You
it's basically education, awareness, and developing a palate too.
Yeah, that is true. You have to, it's like when I noticed that your rice is different from, you know, another rice, and I said, this is delicious. I want it, as opposed to, I'm having the rice. Okay, I'll throw in rice.
Call this, we're making rice the center of the plate. So now that, you know, you're, it would be good because of climate change and because of agribusiness to eat more sustainably grown meat and poultry and a little less than the norm, where we were a protein-based country and diet with, you know, the starch or rice and the very side. And so now if you have rice in the center and then your protein and your vegetables surround the rice as opposed to the opposite of that.
Well, actually, like I have one cake left, and what now goes into my head is not what protein I want. It's like now I want the rice. Now what can I put into the rice?
No, that's so oh, great. Look at the whole change that you just said. So instead of making the protein the center of the plate, you're making the grain the center of the plate, and then your added ingredients are a little bit of protein and some really nice vegetables. That's a much healthier diet, not only for the person, but for the earth.
Well, I have to tell you, like, at one point, I did this, and I know I probably shouldn't throw it away, but I did this, and I took a small steak, and I, you know, and I used that, and then, you know, and I cut it up and whatever, and I started to eat, and I went, you know, really, I don't like the steak. I mean, it made a nice gravy, but I really was not up for chewing that steak. Wound up throwing most of it away. So I thought to myself, you know, I really need to just concentrate on maybe I should buy broths. And forget about.
You know, we make dal with lentils. We make, you know, we make a stir fry with tofu and vegetables. And, you know, I wanted to share another story with you. So Cornell
Sure.
University, which is one of the homes of the research for system of rice intensification, which we call more crop per drop, they did an experiment, and they were seeing a lot of waste in there. You know, when they were offering students white rice, the students would take it, and then they would throw it away. And then when they started offering the Bhutan red rice or the forbidden rice or the brown jasmine rice, they were noticing that the students were taking it and they were eating it. So there was less because they liked the taste and the texture and they knew about the nutritional value too. And then they saw that, wow, this might be a little bit more expensive, but there's not as much waste. So actually they came out ahead.
Which, if you're making a choice, which rice would you use to substitute if you're making sushi?
So making in sushi, you can use some black rice, and actually you can actually mix a little bit of black rice with the regular sushi rice so you get sticky enough. You could also use the organic jade pearl. But, you know, you can. I'm not against white rice. I'm just not into eating white rice every day.
Yeah, no, I understand, but I notice it's like it's very typical, especially with sushi. They always put signs around, if you leave, you have to eat the rice. They're basically telling you, you know, because they're not giving you sashimi. You know, and people tend to, but if you have rice that tastes good, then they're not, you know, no one's going to want to throw it away.
No, well, also, most Japanese restaurants who are making sushi rice are making good sushi rice. But,
oh, okay.
If you're going to make sushi at home, though, I would say you can use our organic jade pearl, or you can make a mixture of the forbidden rice makes good sushi, or you can mix the sushi white rice with the forbidden rice, and then it comes out a beautiful purple color. So there's a lot. And there's even sticky brown rice that people are making with sushi, too.
There is a sticky brown rice, too. Huh.
There
okay.
is. There's some people who are doing a whole grain sushi rice, too. Or you mix a brown short grain rice with a white sushi rice.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'll also recommend it. I guess, especially there's this sushi restaurant opened up in my neighborhood, and the guy is Chinese, and he wants to have things that are more, are better. So I might say recommend that he does it. It's like it costs a little bit more than another place, but I had noticed things are fresher. So he might be interested in trying some of this using the forbidden rice.
Right. Well, there's a company called Kika Sushi, and they are a national company that supplies Whole Foods with sushi kiosks in their prepared food section, and at least half of them, not all of them. and they're making a forbidden rice sushi with our black rice, and it's and they're wrapping the rice on the outside. So the sushi, the first
right.
thing you see is the black rice, and it's absolutely beautiful and delicious. We serve it and show it at our trade shows.
So
really
how do you spell it, Kiko?
Kika, K-I-K-A. Two K's,
okay.
K-I-K-K-A.
Okay. Yeah. No. I'm gonna check this out. I wonder if Fresh Direct does something. I want to see if they're using that company. I'd be curious. Okay. Have we missed anything?
I don't think so. The only thing I'd like to bring to your attention again.
Sure.
Is the Heat and Eat rice bowls, because.
Oh, yeah, I forgot
about
that. They're
one of my favorite lunch items. So these are, we took three of our More Crop Per Drop organically grown rices, the Forbidden Rice, the Jasmine Rice, and the Volcano Rice. And these are fully cooked rices that are shelf-stable and not refrigerated, that cook up in 90 seconds in a microwave. And if you don't have a microwave, you can just heat them up in a pot, you know, take the rice out of the plastic bowl and just a tablespoon of water, because they're already fully cooked. And I am I'm a pretty bad rice snob, and when this was proposed to me almost 6 years ago, I thought, no way, I can't believe that 90 seconds you could have such good tasting fresh rice. And it's absolutely true. And this is a state-of-the-art methodology, and it's amazing, because this is what I eat for lunch every single day. I'm at my desk, all of a sudden it's 1 o'clock, I'm starved. I go into the office, I pick up a bowl, I microwave it for 90 seconds, and while it's being microwaved, I chop up a fresh avocado, and I warm up some black beans, and there's my complete protein lunch within 3 minutes.
Oh, that sounds. I didn't eat dinner yet, so I.
The other thing, we're making some YouTube videos that will be ready by the end of the month that I'll share with you, called Rice All Day, and we use the jasmine rice bowl to show you how to make a very quick and easy fried rice using the bowl, and also the lunch that I just described, the volcano rice with a cut up avocado and black beans, with a little bit of, I use the Bragg's aminos, you know, it's kind of like the soy sauce, but and much better, less sodium, so to give it some flavor. So we'll share with you, so you can put these out.
I could put this on Facebook. By the way, I think I've been putting you on Facebook anyway, so that and I could be doing this. I'll put this on Facebook and also on my blog.
Great, great. And we did one ramen three ways, rice all day. So we show you a breakfast juke. We show you the lunch that I just explained. We show dinner with the fried rice, and we show a beautiful coconut mango forbidden rice pudding.
Oh my God.
And then for the Arari, we show you three ways to use that. And for the ramen, we show you three ways to use that. And these are only one-minute videos.
Wow. Oh,
yeah,
you know,
so
as I think of it, there's a Thai restaurant near me that makes a sticky mango rice. And the rice also tastes like there's coconut milk in it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they usually do with the Thai sticky black rice to make it less, to give it a little bit more flavor and less branny. So that's what they're using. But with the forbidden rice, you need less sugar, because, as I said before, it's a much sweeter rice.
Okay. I'm ready for dinner.
Great. Well, it's always a pleasure talking to you, Merle.
Oh, yeah. So so people can go on to lotusfoods.com.
Yes, lotusfoods.com. Get a lot of recipes, a lot of information on Do the Rice Thing, which is our new campaign for more crop per drop, a water smart and woman strong way to grow rice, and any other, lots and lots of information, but, you know, a lot of great recipes.
Great. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to slipping into my kitchen and cooking, too.
Great. All right. Well, let's keep in touch.
I certainly will.
All right.
And Kenneth, you too.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Okay. Have a great
Bye-bye.
Evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, yes. This is yeah. Well, let's see. I just guess I'm going to end this. All the chickens are sleeping at the moment. Yep. So I'm going to go and cook up my wonderful dinner here. Now, as soon as I find my music intro. So everybody, have a great day, morning, evening, or whatever it is by you, and see you, talk to you soon. Okay.